Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, and welcome to the show. Why am I gritting? Because I'm just so happy to be here. And I know you guys are out there. Wow, he's on the air. He's on the air. Yes, I'm on the air. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago, Illinois. It's another one of those days, folks. It's another one of those gray, awful, miserable-looking days. And it's cold for springtime. And I'm hearing that this type of weather is all over, just about all over the country. People are freezing, having unseasonable spring. So far, it has not been a spring. I mean, so we just had to deal with it. You know, just got what can we do? The meteorologists or the weather people, they don't seem to know. They're just as baffled. They don't know. You know, I mean, one of the things about the meteorologists, if you watch them, if you follow them, I mean, when it's nice outside, when it's warm and the weather is cooperating, people are walking around in shorts and things, and you know, it's just summery weather. These guys and girls, they take the blame for good weather. I'm bringing this day. I'm bringing these 80s. I'm bringing these 70s. I'm bringing these 90s. You know, but when you have this unnatural, unseasonable weather, you know, you think they're going to take the blame for this? No way. Oh, no, we just predict the weather. We don't know. The technology is not up to date. They're blaming everybody but themselves. The southerly flow, whatever that is, you know. So, you know, but anyway, but this bad weather, this gloomy weather, this horrible weather, they will not. They don't own it. But let it get in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and their predictions are spot on. They're gonna take the credit for it. But let's be truthful. I mean, they just predict the weather. And from my understanding, the meteorologists within the United States, they get it wrong every time. The thing about it, when these guys get it wrong, I said this in a previous show, when these guys get it wrong, they'll use words like, we missed it. Oh, wow, we got lucky, or something like that. We missed it. We got lucky. Or it went over us. It bypassed us. Oh, it didn't happen. You know, and the bottom line is what actually happened is they got it wrong. They got it all wrong. I used to get so upset at this that I written a novel. I written a book about this. Obviously, I fictionalized it. I made it, you know. So if you want to know about it, you have to go to my website on Amazon.com. It's called The Deep Freeze. Anyway, I written about it, but I fictionalized it, like I said. But the weather is just so freaky. However, up in Canada, from what I've been told and what I've read, is that Canada seems to get their weather forecasting right. U.S. cannot do that with all this technology, all this fancy, falutin equipment that they buy and get, and all this radar and Doppler 7 and Doppler this and Doppler that, power Doppler this, and they can't even get the weather correct. But you know what? I think down the line they're going to get this stuff. They're going to be spot on with this because they're going to keep digging and digging and digging and finding out why can't the United States get their weather right, the weather forecasting right, like a lot of other countries. I don't know. Why are we always at the ass bottom of everything? I just don't understand that. But anyway, getting back to the show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And my guest is Alexandra Okorija. I hope I did justice to her last name. Anyway, this is, follow me on Facebook, follow me on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, this is not, my show is not your traditional talk show, okay? It's not like every other talk show. I can recall, if I can tell this story, before I actually gotten into being a talk show host on the radio, on internet radio, I was listening to a lot of other talk show hosts on the radio, especially on Blog Talk Radio. And I came across one. I guess what I'm getting at, folks, is everybody cannot be a radio host. And I understand that. Just like everybody can't be a police officer, everybody can't be a baker or chef, everybody can't be a janitor. And everybody cannot be a talk show host. And this lady, I ran across her. I was trying to learn about being a radio talk show host. I will not mention her name, but she was just fascinating to me. And like I said before, everybody cannot be a talk show host. But somehow she made it. She had lots of listeners. She had lots of fans. There were guests appearing on her show. But somehow her show did not appeal to me because I didn't, a lot of talk show radio hosts are just normal people. You know, they just go and somehow become a talk show host. But you have to have talent to do that. I talked about this yesterday in the show. You have to have talent to do this. And you have to have the voice to do it. And I'm not bragging or anything on myself or anything, but, you know, you have to have talent. Anything you want to do, you're going to have talent to do it, or you're not going to be able to do it. And people are going to let you know that you can't do it. But anyway, this lady on this on this Blog Talk Radio station, and there's a lot of people with talk shows on Blog Talk Radio and other internet radio websites. It's a huge one. Have you ever gone to iTunes and you just pulled all these people up, all their podcasts from their shows? Talk radio is known throughout the world. I know this because I get calls from all over the world, okay? So, and I get people who want to be booked on this show from all over the world. Not as much as I would like to, but I do get them time to time. And it's a popular, and people have been trying to get me away from here, you know, to go and do their format for their show or for their network or website. And I decided to stay here because I didn't really feel comfortable learning another system. I know this system, at least I think I do. So I stick with it. And so until something dramatic happens, you know, I'm going to stay right here. But anyway, let me get back to this. She was a talk show host. She sounded great. She sounded like your grandmother, you know. And she was a radio, she's a radio internet talk show host. She sounds just like your grandmother. And I'll never forget the first time I heard her. I clicked on it and I heard her speak. And she sounds like a very nice lady. She sounds very astute. She's very knowledgeable. She knows what she's talking about. It's just her delivery. How she sounded is what got me. If I can try to do this, I don't know. She would say things like, "How y'all doing? Thank you for tuning in to the show. Wow, this is wonderful.
wonderful. Well, glad you could join me. We're going to be talking to author Sandra Davis, and she's going to tell us all about her book. And thank you for tuning into my show. It is so wonderful. I feel so great and everything. Okay. Sandra is in the studio. She will be here. Hi there. Can you tell us about your book?
And I was just enthralled listening at her. I'm pretty sure I didn't do a pretty good impersonation of her. I hope not, because if I did, then she'll know who done it and she'll call me. But anyway, she was a very sweet. I'm not going to give her name. I'm not going to give her away, but I will tell you that she's on Block Talk Radio. If you like that impersonation, I think I did pretty good, though. I'm not going to try it again because I don't want to stretch my luck here. But anyway, everybody can. I'm not saying that she's not a great talk show host, but she wasn't the kind of talk show host that I thought that I should call into her show. You know, I'm not saying, you know, there are some people, I'm pretty sure that she had a lot of guests, a lot of fans, a lot of people. You know, but I just didn't feel it was the right format for me. So, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there who thinking about getting on my show and talking about whatever they do, and they listen to it beforehand, they'll decide, well, George's show is not for me. That's okay. That's fine. It happens, because I feel like there's a lot. I feel like there is a lot of room for everybody in this game. In the radio industry, I don't look at a lot of people, a lot of other talk show hosts as my rivals. I don't look at them as competition, because there is enough out here for all of us to be successful. I mean, I don't need to go at nobody's throat and say, hey, don't listen to that person. Don't listen to that person. You know, everybody has their own audience, you know, for whatever you're talking about. My show is basically, I have my show in the genre of politics, but I can talk about anything to anybody on any subject. You know, and there's people who shows are all about entertainment. There's talk shows that are all about, you know, music, sports. You got sports, you know, so mine is politics. You know, I mean, I know sports. I can do sports shows, you know, but I'm not that. But, you know, there's enough room for everybody out here. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, right here. Follow me all over the place. It is a gray, gloomy, nasty day in Chicago. And what I'm hearing is it's a mess all around the country in some places. Although there's some cities and some states around the country that are spring-like. But the majority of the states, at least the one I'm in, it is miserable. And we just have to thank our blessings for waking up. Oh, I must have swallowed something. I'm sorry. And I was moving right along. I was hearing something on the network news about diabetes. I've done several shows in the past, months and months back on diabetes. Okay, and I'm hearing something now on diabetes. And I decided that I was going to talk about diabetes again during sometime during this particular show. Because now they're saying that it has worsened more than ever. I mean, it is worsened more than ever. Okay? And I don't know why some people out here, when you tell them that you have diabetes, there are so many people out here that do not take that as serious as saying, I have cancer. Diabetes has killed more people, I'm pretty sure, probably than cancer. So a lot of people, well, diabetes, that ain't nothing. Just exercise, take your prick your fingers, take your medication, watch your sugar, you'll be fine. That may be okay for some people with who are diabetic, but a lot of people, you know, don't do that. And who wants to be pricking their damn fingers every second or so? You know, who wants to be taking insulin? Because I've said this before, insulin only treats the symptoms of diabetes. It doesn't treat the causes. And if you have diabetes, you want to be treating the causes and not the symptoms. Because if you're treating the symptoms, you're actually making diabetes worse. You're making it worse. Because sometimes it's the insulin that's causing the diabetes. I'm not a doctor, folks. But I've had plenty of doctors on my show in the past. And I'm hoping to get some more on the show at some point in time. So we're going to be doing diabetes also. And because obesity is just rampant. I mean, it is rampant. And if you call somebody fat, you better be ready to fight. I mean, if you call somebody who's obese, you better be ready to put them fists. There's going to be some fisticuffs, you know. But seriously, diabetes is just running crazy. I'm going to have the statistics on that a little later on in the show. And I'm also going to have a doctor on the show, a clip of a doctor on the show. And I got a couple of clips on diabetes. And there's so many programs and studies out here on diabetes awareness. And there's so many people out here on the radio in commercials talking about diabetes, trying to get your money. I've heard if diabetes, take care of yourself while you're having this disease, diabetes. Basically, a lot of people who once had diabetes, they're now cured. And basically, all they did was maybe diet and exercise, and that was it. And they were diabetes free. You know, but everybody, some people are strong enough, have strong immune systems, that they can do all the things they can do to eradicate themselves of this disease. And some people, diabetes will hit them so hard that they don't know what the hell happening. They're turned around, and this is how people die from it, not knowing what they have or how to treat it. I totally believe that. Because the diabetes will hit you hard. It can hit you at work. It can hit you in the house. It can hit you walking down the street, you know. And next thing you know, and you're thinking, wow, what the hell's going on? The world is spinning around literally. What is going on? You don't know what's going on. So I'm going to play these tapes that I have on diabetes in their entirety. They may be 20 or 30 minutes long, but I'm going to play them in their entirety because I want the world to be aware that diabetes is an epidemic. Something has to be done. And being overweight, there's no doubt about it. Being overweight is one of the greatest signs of diabetes, because every time I see somebody that's overweight, even if I don't know this person, I'm saying to myself, this person may have diabetes. And then you got people walking around with diabetes who don't even know they have diabetes. But when those symptoms start to be so prevalent, they don't know what to do or how to do it. And this is why I believe some people succumb to this disease, because they don't know how to deal with it. Once you learn how to deal with it, and say to yourself, hey, diabetes is not going to do anything to me. You know, I'm going to deal with this. Your feet or your arms, the amputation, that'll scare you to death to try and do something about it. But some people, like I just said, I mean, diabetes hits you like a brick in the head, and you don't know what to do. You know, you go to your doctor, and first thing they're going to tell you, diabetes. Yeah, I know, doctor. I know I had something, but tell me, what can I do? Well, take this needle. And you don't want to prick your fingers, but we have to do something about it because people are dying from this disease. And it's a deadly disease. And I wish people would treat diabetes just as they would treat lung cancer, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, just cancer in general. Because from what I'm hearing, 4 or 5 million, this is epidemic. This diabetes thing is epidemic. It's all over the world. It's not just around the corner or in that person's house or in that person's apartment. This is all around the world. Somehow the governments, they have not gotten, they have not gotten a hold on trying to stop this epic of diabetes. It's going around everywhere. And just about everybody you see walking down the street, on the train, on the buses, you know, whatever, wherever they're going, on their planes, airplanes, somebody somewhere got, they're diabetic. And you got celebrities like, what's this guy's name? Mr. Entertainment, Cedric the Entertainer, okay? He's going around, he's got commercials. He's going around trying to, making diabetes more aware to those who are not aware of it, because his father had diabetes or has diabetes. And that's a good thing. So am I. I've been on the radio for the last few months, at least a few months ago, talking about diabetes. And I'm going to continue to talk about it. Because it's epidemic. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for tuning into my show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading, archiving, whatever you're doing, linking my show, and all of that kind of thing. Thank you, everybody. I mean, I do appreciate that. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I will be right back after this little sound bite. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. And I just wanted to mention, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to mention that the White Sox, Chicago White Sox, and the Chicago Cubs have won two games each. They have won two games each in a row. That is stunning. The White Sox are winning. I mean, this is the first two games of the season opener. But they've won two games apiece. But they haven't gotten these games that they've won. These games are away, not at home. They're playing in much better climates than the climate is here in Chicago, which is, you know, not spring-like. What can I say? I just got through talking about this stuff on the show, and it's not spring-like. But these guys have won. This is not a sports show, because I don't think I really am a sports broadcaster. So I try to stay within my niche. But when your hometown teams win, that's got to be something. Although the Bulls are floundering, they are two or three games out of the playoffs, but they got about four or five games left, so in the season, so we can probably count them out. You know, I can only talk about Chicago teams, folks. I can't talk about no other team, so because I'm in Chicago and I, you know when they lose, know when they win. But they're talking about the Cubs going to the World Series. I doubted that at first, but now that they've won two games by opening the season, just opening the season, two games with 160 to go, you know, it's something. I may start to become a believer the Cubs may go to a Super Bowl. I mean, not the Super Bowl, I'm thinking football. Not the Super Bowl, but the World Series. But it is really, really too early to say. But a lot of people are dreaming. But I do think, personally, I do think they may go to the playoffs. Who knows? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. A little bit of sports there. I try to cover everything. This is a variety show, so there's a variety of topics and things to be talked about on this show. Sometimes we do give those smart quiz questions and we give the answers. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. You know, I have a chat room here. Sometimes I open it up, sometimes I do not. And but it's all good, folks. It's all good. And thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you for all you've done. And actually, thanks for everything. Downloading my books, reading my books, giving me great feedback on those books. If you don't know about my writing, just go to Amazon.com. Everything should drop down in front of you. And that's some good stuff. I ought to know. And I'm continuing to write this day. Whenever I'm not on the air, I'm usually writing or either booking shows or being a parent or, you know, just keeping myself busy at the things I love doing. And you should do the same thing, too. Keep yourself busy. And we're going to be talking about getting the clutter out of your life. You know, and, you know, just things like that. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to be talking about diabetes, folks. I mean, because this is an epidemic. It's an epidemic. And diabetes is scaring a lot of folks. Like I just got through saying, a lot of people are walking around, don't even know they have this. But when they started feeling wheezy or dizzy or cloudy or confused, they have diabetes, or it could be diabetes. And a lot of people don't have, they don't have insurance, medical insurance. So some people just live with it, you know, and that's not right. You know, so if you don't have medical insurance and you can't, one of the things I want to say to a lot of people who do have diabetes and those who know of people who have diabetes, if you don't know anything about diabetes, research it. You can always go online and research it. If you don't have a computer, that's no excuse, because you can always go to the public library or a public facility where they have free computers where you can use. So there's no excuse for not researching this disease. That's one of the greatest things you can do is research it. Don't even let your doctor tell you this or that. Because you have to remember one thing, and I've said this before. The medical industry is all about profits. I mean, you've heard horror stories where doctors prescribing medication to patients that don't even need the medication, but they're billing their insurance even though the doctors know that this insurance is not needed. It is a money bin to keep you on pills, to keep you going back to the doctor, to keep you, every time you set foot in that doctor's office, even you sitting in the chair, they're charging you. The medical industry is about profit. Sometimes I'm watching TV and all of these commercials will come on about all of these different kinds of drugs for your diabetes. They sound good until they start getting to the part about the after effects, the after effects or the of the drug turns me off. I mean, there's about 100 after effects, more so than the benefits of the drug. It's a profitable industry. So the doctor, whether you need all that insulin, whether it's pills or if it's insulin or it's a checkup every now and then, it's profitable. They're not going to tell you that diabetes can be cured just by eating right and exercising, which it can be. They're going to make you think that you that you're going to die from it if you don't keep coming to the doctor, if you don't keep getting these pills and pricking your fingers. It's not going to happen, folks, at least not for some people. Especially if you got a strong immune system. I'm not a doctor, but I'm hoping I'm giving out some common sense here. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Folks, we'll be right back. Can we get a drum roll here? All right, that was two drum rolls. Okay, all right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. You see how much fun I'm having? You see it? And you should see the way, you know, maybe I should get a YouTube show or something, or rent out one of those television stations and just take my show on television. I've been asked to be on TV, but yeah, I don't think I have a face for television. I really, who knows what the future might bring, folks. I will be right back. Let me see. Can we queue up some music here? All right, be right back, folks. Stay with me. Thank you. All right, folks, don't give it up. I like this song. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Don't give up. And I guess if I want to generalize, I would probably say for everybody, whatever you love doing, keep doing it. Don't give it up. If you haven't tried it, if it's something you love, keep doing it. And don't let anybody anywhere tell you that you can't do something that you know you can do. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. We're still waiting. We're still waiting. And maybe we're going
to
wait.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
On April 1st, okay, on April 1st in the city of Chicago, the teachers struck. They were out on strike, a struck or whatever. They were out on strike, at least for one day of action. And I didn't like it. I opposed it, but they went out. They were thousands strong out there downtown protesting. And they said they were protesting the budget, protesting lack of funding for the Chicago public schools. They changed their tune. They changed their tune because they were being ridiculed for keeping the kids out of school. The kids, Chicago kids should have been in school, but they had to make a statement, the union. And a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of parents didn't like that. They didn't want that. Our kids should be in school, but yet the teachers are out there trying to fight for more money when these teachers in Chicago make a lot of money. They may be the highest paid teachers in America. And that's one of the things that pissed me off. They're out there threatening and picketing while the kids should be in school because they want more money. They want a union contract. The union said at first that any teacher that did not participate in this, what some of the politics, the local politicians around here called an illegal strike, if the teachers did not participate, that they would be kicked out of the union. And a lot of us was pissed off at that. I mean, if you don't want to participate in a legal strike, I mean, how in the hell are you going to get kicked out of a union? That's not right. And a lot of people were giving these teachers a lot of blowback because of it. And then they changed their tunes and they said, well, we're out here because of the kids. They're not out there because of the kids. They're not out there because of funding. They're out there because of their own selfishness for more money and trying to control and run the system themselves. And that's how I believe it. I mean, I'm all for unions, but certain unions that abuse their authority, abuse their power, I'm not for, especially when it comes to hurting the kids, which they should have been in school that day. There's no doubt about that. They should have been in school. And I have a clip I want to share with my audience on that particular day, because I was off.
It's being called a fight against austerity, low wages, and something more. As picket lines, rallies, and marches unfolded across Chicago on Friday, April 1st, some 50 allied organizations staged a day of action they say is long overdue and part of a broader effort to demand economic equity in a city that has little.
Our schools are being underfunded because they refuse to tax the wealthy, the 1% who get everything. And children of color are the main ones who are affected. Look at this school in this community. The murder rates are at the highest in the city of Chicago and most impoverished colored communities. So I'm out here to make sure that if our children can't get the basic necessities, that they get the quality of education that they deserve.
Members of the Black Lives Matter movement in the Fight for 15 joined public school teachers, parents, and students as they took to the streets to demand change. The day began with nearly 30,000-strong Chicago Teachers Union walking off the job during a precarious moment for city schools. Officials say the system faces over a $1 billion budget deficit. Illinois Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, a fierce opponent of public unions, has rejected calls to bail out the city. Instead, he is pushing for bankruptcy and state takeover, a move the union opposes.
Well, there is money in this state. It's just flowing to the wealthy people, to the top 1%. What we need is actually progressive revenue. We need taxes on millionaires. We need a progressive income tax. We're only one of 9 states that has a flat tax. So the poor people are paying the same as the rich people, and that is not fair. We also need a tax on trades, on financial transactions, the LaSalle Street tax. If we had a 1 cent tax on every trade, that would bring millions of dollars to our schools.
Union leadership overwhelmingly approved the strike last week, but not all members agree. 2 teachers penned an editorial in the Chicago Tribune saying the strike is a mistake and will hurt students. The union says strike breakers could get kicked out of the union. The strike also comes amidst contract negotiations with the city, which, if unresolved, could result in another prolonged walkout in May. The city's embattled mayor, Rahm Emanuel, has criticized the strike, saying the union should focus its anger against the state.
We are striking here to protect our students. We keep having massive funding cuts. At my school, we had $180,000 cut just in the past 2 months. They've cut almost all our before and after school programs. They cut hundreds of millions of dollars around the city for special education services. A lot of these cuts are, frankly, are illegal.
The day of protest also focused on the school-to-prison pipeline, including a march from school picket lines to the Cook County Jail.
Well, they keep cutting services, not only in the schools, but in the whole neighborhood. They're closing down mental health facilities, libraries, a lot of clinics around the city. And what ends up happening, if these services are cut, then, you know, a lot of our students could end up going to jail. It promotes the school-to-prison pipeline. And right now...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, I apologize. Something happened. Something went wrong. Well, we got bad weather in Chicago, so we do get technical difficulties from time to time again. And sometimes too many, but, you know, it happens. I still love the show. I'm going to do the show. I'm sitting in my studio, my radio studio, and it looks great. It's a wonderful studio. I mean, it's great, but I got this great big window in front of me, and it just looks so gray and gloomy and wet, but it's not that cold. It's sort of, you know, I believe it's probably 45 or 50 degrees. We're near the lake, and when you're near the lake, it's the wind blows off the lake. It's a lot cooler than it is if it was further inland. So, you know, it is just so gloomy. I'm thinking once this show is over, I'll probably go to bed and go right to sleep if I'm not disturbed, you know, because that's the way the day looks. It looks like a day where you just want to sleep. You don't want to deal with nobody. You don't want no company. Nobody better not knock on the door, cut off the cell phone, you know, just sleep my ass off. That's the kind of day it is in Chicago. And I'm hearing that this is the kind of day, evening, or whatever you want to call it, just about around America. It is awful. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. Don't forget my writings available to you for download on your Kindle or your reading device from Amazon.com. Just go check all that stuff out, George Wilder Jr., and it's coming, and it's right there. All right, let's talk about Bernie Sanders. I mean, the guy just he beat Clinton by double digits. I'm not going to even say anything about Ted Cruz and Donald Trump because I really don't care. Have you ever noticed the media, the national news, every time these people come on the air, the first thing they start talking about is Donald Trump. And then after Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, they start talking about the Democrats. The Republicans are the first thing they lead with, and the Democrats are the second. I mean, why is that? I guess because Donald Trump makes a lot of news, whether it's negative or positive. Most of it has been negative. But anyway, let me go back and say Hillary Clinton was whipped soundly by Bernie Sanders. And now she's out there calling him a liar and he can't do this and he can't do that. We know that a lot of the things that Bernie Sanders says he can do, he will not be able to do if he has a Republican Congress. So we have to give him a Democratic Congress. That means we have to vote in Democratic representatives and Democratic senators from your state, your districts, from your city. I mean, you know, we got to do it because he may not even get things done with a Democratic Congress because they may not like him because he's a socialist and he's an independent. However, he's running as a Democrat. Okay, so from what I'm hearing, Bernie has won 6 out of 7 states. I mean, Hillary Clinton cannot just blow her nose at that. That's serious. That means that she could lose. I recall a few weeks ago, Hillary Clinton was focusing her fire on Donald Trump and forgetting all about Bernie Sanders. But now that Bernie Sanders, I thought that was a mistake for her to do that because Bernie Sanders was not out of the running for this. But now she's back because this is a battle for her. She's battling Sanders. She prematurely started dumping on Donald Trump, not knowing that Bernie Sanders was sneaking up behind her. And he has. This guy has come from 50 points down to beat this lady. And now her and her husband and daughter are running around the country wiping the sweat off their brow because Bernie Sanders could win this thing. Hillary Clinton has a trust issue. And she does. She really does. I mean, she does. And I'm going to say right here and now, go Bernie Sanders. I mean, I am all in your corner. You know, and I'm going to be in your corner until you will not get the nomination. But that's another thing I want to say, folks. If Bernie Sanders, we all love Bernie, okay? But if he doesn't get it, we have to put Clinton. We have to take our support from Bernie and give it to Hillary Clinton. Hold our nose and do it because we need a Democrat in office. We need that. Even though we know that she takes money from Wall Street, she's corporate. She tries to downplay that, of course. And I think some of that is probably caused her to lose some of these states. Okay, the next big state up is New York. And from what I'm hearing, that's Hillary's state. I think she used to be the senator for that state, New York. However, I'm also hearing through the grapevine that Bernie Sanders is going to make it a close race. If not, he may be an all-out winner of that state. So I'm pretty sure that Hillary is breaking out all the stops to try to stop Bernie Sanders. And I believe after New York, there's California. So I understand that this one will not take place until around April 12th or April 16th, the next voting cycle for the primaries in the state of New York. So during that time, it's going to be a lot of mudslinging. You know, I mean, she's going to accuse Sanders of so much and she's going to attack him. I think that's wrong for her to do, because if she does that, she's going to look pretty bad, folks. She's going to look bad, and people may, her supporters may retaliate against her for that and then go over to the Sanders side of the aisle. But we just have to wait and see. But my money is going to be on, there's no doubt about it, my money is going to be on Bernie Sanders. My money is going to be on, I don't care if I lose listeners, I lose friends, my money is on, well, not literally, but I'm supporting Bernie Sanders, put it that way. And okay, they're saying that Merle Haggard, the country singer, he died today. He was 79 years old. I was never a fan of his, but anybody who passes away, and especially if someone's famous, I always give them a nod on this show. He was a country singer, and they said he was back in 57. He was spent 3 years in prison and came out and wanted to be like Johnny Cash or something to that effect. But, you know, I applaud him, and I send my condolences out to his family and his fans. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to be playing that tape on diabetes. I'm going to change the headline for the show because I don't think my guest is going to show up. That's becoming a ritual around here. But, you know, I always say the show has to go on, and it will go on. It was going on way before, you know, I booked these guests, and it's going to go on way after they're not booked. Okay? All righty. We're going to play that clip as soon as I come back, folks. Stay with me. It's on diabetes. And if you know anybody with diabetes, tell them to listen to this particular episode of this show because I'm going to change the headline to read differently once the show is over. And I'm going to archive the show. I'm going to advertise it and put it all over everywhere so people can listen to the show because I think these doctors, they have some great information on diabetes. Okay, we will be right back with that clip, folks. Stay with me. Folks.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, folks, here is that, if we can find it, I think it's clip number 13. Number 13. All right, folks, here's that clip, and this is some needed information on diabetes. Okay, good. Great.
Things is that. The diabetes, they tell you, is a chronic disease. And so this is what happens, and this is what happens in all studies. And if you've taken medications, you know this is what happens. So your sugars start out actually not bad. As you take the medications, the sugars actually comes down a bit. But over the years, it kind of the effect sort of wears off. So then you wind up having to add more and more and more medications. So what happens is that no matter what drug you take, so these compare three drugs, metformin, glibride, and rosiglitazone. So no matter what drug you take, the initial effect is very good, up to about 6 months. And then after about 6 months, the effect kind of wears off, and you can see that the sugar slowly goes up. And so what happens is that you wind up on a second medication or a third medication. And this is pretty well what happens to everybody. So if you've had diabetes for a while, and many people have had it for 10, you know, 12, 15 years, what you find is that you start off on metformin, then you go to metformin and glibride, then maybe three agents or four agents, then you wind up on a little bit of insulin, then you wind up on more insulin and more insulin. And if you think about the diabetes, if you think about who has, mild diabetes and who has severe diabetes, you can see that the people who are just on the little bit of metformin are, have mild diabetes, and if you're on a lot of insulin, you have very severe diabetes. So in fact, over these years, despite what everybody tells you, your diabetes is just getting worse and worse and worse. So your sugars might go up, they might go down, but your diabetes is actually getting worse. And I think that's what confuses people a lot, because they think that the sugar and the diabetes are the same thing, but they're actually not. But over that period of time, you can see that no matter what, it's actually progressing, and they say it's a progressive disease. So this is the thing that you have to understand, that the sugars and the diabetes are actually two different things. So diabetes, the real heart of diabetes is the insulin resistance, okay? So that part is what's getting worse. The sugars is really just a symptom of the insulin resistance, okay? But it's not the actual diabetes. The actual diabetes is the resistance to insulin and the subsequent very high levels of insulin. If you want to think about it, in a analogy, you can think about an infection. So if you have an infection, say you have a big, infection in the lungs or whatever, that's the actual disease. The symptom is the fever, okay? So what you have to do is treat the disease, which is the infection, with antibiotics. You can't treat the symptom of the fever. So if you have a very bad infection, you need antibiotics. You don't need more and more Tylenol. So diabetes is the same thing. The disease is about insulin resistance, but the symptom is the high blood sugar. And yet all our treatment is directed against the high blood sugar. So you can see that controlling the high blood sugars actually doesn't do anything for you, because you're not actually treating the disease. The disease actually continues to progress. And that's the real problem. So up to about 5 years ago, we thought that treating the sugars would make you better, right? And this is what probably all of you have heard. Your sugars are doing fine, your sugars are doing fine. So if you think that the sugars is the same thing as the diabetes, then you'd think that the diabetes is doing fine. But it turns out about 5 years ago that they did three very large studies. And what they found was that no matter if your sugars were well controlled or poorly controlled, it actually didn't make any difference. You still got complications of diabetes. You still got the disease, the heart disease, the strokes. You got the eye disease, the kidney disease, all of it. So none of that was made better by controlling the sugars. And if you think about it this way, you can see why. Because you're not actually treating the disease. You're only treating the symptoms. So just like if you take Tylenol for an infection, it might make you look better, but it doesn't actually make you better. So this is the same thing. So the diabetes is the insulin resistance. So you have to understand what is the cause of the insulin resistance, and then you actually have to treat it. So you have to treat the insulin resistance and not the sugars. Now, at a certain point when your sugars are very high, yes, you have to treat it. But that's not what is really important in the disease. The real part of the heart of the disease is the insulin resistance. And because they don't really understand what causes the insulin resistance, they can't actually treat it. So all your treatments, all the metformin, all the glyburide, all the insulin, all of that is aimed at simply treating the sugars. So here's the real question. What causes the insulin resistance? And this is what's happening in the body. This is just a cartoon. So normally the insulin causes you to lower the blood sugars. That's what it does. As you eat, your blood sugars go up and insulin is released to take that sugar out of the blood and into the tissues. And that's a normal thing. When you develop insulin resistance, the insulin doesn't seem to work as well. So what happens is that the body kind of pumps up the levels of insulin to make it work well enough to get your sugars out of the way. But the high insulin level is a result of the insulin resistance. But what causes the insulin resistance in the first place? And that's really what you need to understand in order to treat it. Because if you know what causes the insulin resistance, then you can treat it. And it turns out that it's actually the insulin that causes the insulin resistance. And that might seem funny at first, but in fact, that's what happens in most biological systems. So if you look at any other hormone, if you get exposed to it, your body develops resistance to it. So if you look at addictive drugs or alcohol or anything, or smoking or anything, as you take the first one, say, for instance, marijuana or cocaine or one of these addictive drugs, or you can take Valium or any of these anti-psychotics and stuff. As you take the first one, you get a real high, but every subsequent one is a little bit lower. So you wind up having to take higher and higher doses to get the same effect. And that's really resistance or tolerance, and it happens for all drugs. Insulin is exactly the same. As you take more and more insulin, your body develops more and more resistance to it. And now you see that it's actually a real vicious cycle, because what happens is that if your insulin level is high, then you get some insulin resistance. As you get insulin resistance, you get higher insulin levels. As you get higher insulin levels, you get higher resistance, and it goes round and round. So you have a vicious circle. And in fact, treatment with insulin now is not simply not effective. It's actually making things worse because you're feeding into that cycle. So while the insulin lowers your sugars, it is actually raising your insulin resistance. So in fact, it's making things worse. You're getting more diabetes by taking the insulin. And that's the real problem. When you understand the actual disease, you can see why current standard treatment is actually not only not effective, it's actually really, really, really bad for you, because you're treating the exact, what is actually causing the disease is what you're treating it with. That's never going to work, right? It's just not going to work. So if you think about it, the problem is that the insulin level is too high. So you're not going to make things better by taking more insulin. It's like treating an alcoholic with alcohol, right? This is exactly the same thing. So the same thing happens in alcohol. If you take alcohol, the first one you get, you know, a real buzz, and then every subsequent one is a little lower. And what happens is that if you take the alcohol, your symptom, you feel a little bit better. But you're not making the alcoholism any better, right? This is the exact same thing. The problem is that your insulin levels are too high. So how can taking more insulin possibly be good for you? And the truth is that it wasn't. It was never good for you. In fact, it made things worse. But people didn't really understand that. And because they didn't understand that, they then made an excuse for themselves by saying that this is a chronic progressive disease. But the truth is that diabetes was not a chronic progressive disease, because we know that we can cure it in many cases. So if you do weight loss surgery or gastric banding or bariatric surgery, basically if you staple somebody's stomach, their diabetes goes away in like 90% of cases. So this was not a chronic progressive disease. This is a curable disease. So if you say that this is a curable disease, yet our treatment is making people worse, the only logical conclusion is that our treatment is completely incorrect. And that's exactly what it is. So when you're thinking about treatment of diabetes, there's a few things you have to consider. One, you have to understand that the key to treating diabetes is not to take more insulin. That makes things worse. The key is, how are you going to get those insulin levels really low? The second thing is that diabetes is a dietary disease, okay? Almost for sure it's a dietary disease. We know that. Yet, if it's a dietary disease, the cure is going to have to be dietary. You can't take a dietary disease and treat it with drugs and pretend that that's going to make things better. But yet that's what we've done. We've taken a disease which is dietary in nature, and we've prescribed you drugs that suppress the symptoms. It's not going to make it better, and it hasn't. The last 30 years has borne it out. The third thing is that this is not a chronic progressive disease at all. This is in fact a curable disease, but you have to treat it the right way. You have to understand what you're doing. So one of the things we do in our clinic is that we are looking at ways of how to lower the insulin levels. And that's the real thing. And one of the simpler ways to do it is intermittent fasting. And that's why we have a lot of people on these sort of protocols. And one of the things to remember is that fasting has been done for many, many years. You know, everybody thinks that it's so crazy. Everybody hears about it at first and thinks it's crazy. But you have to remember that fasting has been done for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And not only that, but almost every single major religion in the world has periods of fasting that are prescribed. Not because, you know, of any particular reason, but they recognize that it is actually a very healthy thing for people to be doing every so often. And why is it so healthy? Because what happens is that when you fast, your insulin levels go down very low. Because you're not eating, your insulin levels go down. And having periods where your insulin level is down helps prevent that vicious cycle, right? It's the insulin that leads to the resistance, which leads to higher insulin. It's a vicious cycle. So if every once in a while, you know, you do Ramadan, which is a month of fasting, or you do, you know, the 40 days of Lent, or whatever it is you do, if you have a period now where your insulin level is very low, you're going to completely break that vicious cycle. And if you do that routinely through the year, then you will stay healthy. You will prevent the development of that resistance. If you don't get the resistance, you don't get the high levels. And that's what we do. So I'm going to show you here what we do kind of in a demonstration. So what we do in terms of the sugars, you can think about it this way. The body actually has the ability to store energy in two ways. So when you eat, you're taking in energy as food, right? So you can store that in two ways. You can store sugar and you can store fat. Okay, so sugar is stored in the liver as something called glycogen. And there's a limited amount of glycogen that you can store in the liver, but it's readily available. Okay, so it's kind of like a short-term storage, but you can store sugar. If you store more energy than fat, the body will actually turn that into fat, and that's kind of long-term food energy storage, right? So as long as you're eating, you're going to be burning that off. You're going to be increasing insulin, and insulin is going to tell your body to store some of that away, okay? So if you have too much sugar, what happens is that some of that is going to go into the stores. But as long as your stores are not full, it's not going to spill over into the blood. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate it this way. Normally, as you take a little thing to eat, if you don't have filled up stores of sugar, what's going to happen is that you're going to fill it up a little bit, right? But it's fine. As you don't eat, so for instance, you eat dinner, you take in more calories than you can really use for that period of time. So your body produces insulin, and insulin says to the body, okay, well, I've eaten a big meal. I'll use a little bit of that as energy. The rest I'm going to put in storage as sugar, okay, because that's what I do. So it fills up the storage, but the storage is empty, so it's fine. Then you go to sleep, so for the next, you know, 9, 12 hours, you're not eating. So what happens is that your body is going to take that and it's going to burn it off as energy. So that's fine. That's the normal situation. Now what happens in the diabetic situation is something like this. So over time, your storage is, you know, empty. But over time, as you kind of continue to eat more and more, what happens is that that storage kind of gets filled up. And now here's the situation in diabetes. This is your storage levels of sugar, right? They're completely full, right? And what you do when you eat is this. You're going to take in a meal and you're going to have more sugar. And what's going to happen? It's all going to spill over into the blood, right? So the blood sugar levels go up. There's nothing it can do. It can't store any more. So for a while, your body can compensate. But what does insulin do? So now you're diabetic, and this is what happens every mealtime. Your storage is filled up. Every time you eat, the sugar spills out into the blood. Well, as you take insulin to take care of that problem, the body is going to take that excess sugar and force it back into the body. So what happens to that? Your body is just going to store it as fat. In other words, the insulin is going to make you gain weight. And if you've ever taken insulin, you know already that's exactly what happens. But this is the problem. If you continue to do this day after day, year after year, all you do is gain weight, right? But it doesn't make you any better because all that sugar is still in your body. So it's kind of like that show Hoarders. I don't know if you've seen it, but people, you know, hoard too much stuff and their house is full of stuff. So pretty soon the stuff flows out. Now what happens? If you're taking insulin, all you're doing is taking all that garbage and shoving it back into the house. Well, that's not going to help. That's not going to make things better. In fact, over time, it's just going to make things worse. And that's exactly what happens in the current treatment of diabetes. So this is what we do instead. If your cup is completely full, the only rational treatment for diabetes, so this is the situation now in diabetes, your cup is completely full. The only way that's going to make you better is to start draining it off. So that's what you do. So as you fast, what happens? A little bit of this water is going to come out and it's going to get burned off. The next time you fast, a little bit more of this water is going to come and it's going to get drained off. Every single time you do it. So when you eat, it will fill back up a little bit, right? But as you go, what's going to happen is eventually your stores are going to come down and it won't spill over into the blood. You're basically just forcing the body to burn off that sugar. But as you do, you reduce the stores of sugar and you get better. Your diabetes gets better because now you're burning it off. It's like that guy in Hoarders. Instead of shoving it back into your house, which is what the insulin does, we're just going to throw it out. And really, that's really the reason that we do this. You have to lower insulin levels, so you got to get rid of that sugar. Okay, you've stored up too much, and it hasn't been stored up over like a month. It's been stored up over like 10 years, right? So the thing is that it's not going to reverse in a week or a month or 2 months even. Yes, if you do fasting every day, it will reverse faster, right? Because you're getting rid of that sugar every day. So this is what we do. And a few patients actually have been kind enough to share their stories with us. Well, I'll present a few other cases because we've had, you know, quite a number of people go through the program. So I'll just share their stories with you quickly because really it illustrates really how powerful this new concept is. So the first case we have is Richard, who's here today. And so he's had diabetes for about 10 years now, and he's had a few complications, including some kidney disease, which is why he was here in this office. And he saw a colleague of mine, Dr. Ting, and so he was referred into the Intensive Dietary Management Program, and we started him in June of 2013. And we started him with a fasting regimen as opposed to the amount of insulin that he had. So this is Richard and his wife. Oh, I can't see that very well. And this is what's happened to his weight. So his weight, starting just above 250, has been steadily coming down. And it's down to 210. His waist size has continued to come down. And his hemoglobin A1C, which is the measure of his sugars, has stayed relatively stable, below 7%. And this is him now. So if you look at what has happened to his insulin dose, so he started off with 55 units of insulin. And within, 6 weeks, he was off of all his insulin. In other words, his sugars are doing fine, and he's off of all his medications completely. And his levels of A1C are no longer at a level where you could make this case that he is diabetic. In other words, you could say that his diabetes has been cured. By using these kind of simple understanding of diabetes, you can see that this is actually the rational but also the natural way to cure diabetes. We're not talking about piling on more drugs for you. I mean, you go to some of these places, they'll tell you to take these experimental drugs and they'll want to sign you up for drug trials. No. What we're doing has been done for thousands of years and is in fact exactly the way they used to treat diabetes. But they understood that it was a dietary disease. It has to be treated with dietary measures. This is the second case, Balraj, who's here this morning as well. So he was diagnosed in 2003 with diabetes, and he also had some complications of that. And so, after treating him incorrectly for many years, I started him on the intensive dietary management program because, back then I didn't understand much of this myself. Much of this is new. So he started in August, and so his weight has come down a bit, but he started at 186 and he's come down you know, 8-10 pounds or some or so. His waist has come down, but you can see his sugars, his hemoglobin A1C has stayed very good. And this is his medication. So again, starting at over 40 units, about 40 units a day of insulin. So this is what he had to take. Within 5-7 weeks, he was down to zero. He was no longer taking insulin. He's no longer taking any medications for his diabetes. Which again, you could say, if your sugars are good and you're no longer on any medications, you could say that your diabetes has been cured. In essence, what we're doing is exactly the same thing we do with the stomach stapling surgery. So the stomach stapling surgery, the cure rates for diabetes are like 90%. But the benefits are because of the fasting. They cut your stomach so you can't eat. In other words, you're fasting. But if all the benefits come from fasting, why do the surgery at all? It doesn't even make sense. Just do the fasting. This is another case. He's not here, but he's a 45-year-old Filipino man, and he was just recently diagnosed with diabetes. He started with a hemoglobin A1C of 8.7%. So anything over 6.5% is considered diabetes. Anything over 7% is diabetes. But he was newly diagnosed, and he really didn't want to start any medications. So I said to him, well, if you don't want to start medications, then come into my program, and we'll treat you. And we'll treat you, and therefore you won't have to take medications. So it had been slowly rising.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for sticking around for that clip. And that's a powerful clip on diabetes. And like I said before, diabetes is an epidemic, a world epidemic. And we have to do all we can to make people aware of this disease because people are dying from it. And it's just phenomenal that people are walking around, as I've mentioned, they don't even know they have it. You know, but they know that something's wrong. You know, their body is not feeling right, is not acting right. They know something is wrong. So I hope you heeded some of that advice, that good advice. I said I was going to play the tape in its entirety. However, that I may do that for another show because we only have around 10 minutes left in this show. So I wanted to get some things out. Some more things out, and those of you who were expecting my guest, I totally apologize. Things happen, as they always do. I had a glitch in the show earlier, as you probably noted. Things happen. They just happen. Okay, let's move right along. Trump and Clinton sprinting for comeback wins in New York. Yeah, they they are... They are in New York as I speak. Okay, and the mayor and governor of New York, they're both endorsing Hillary Clinton. Of course, you know that Hillary Clinton was clobbered a few days, 1 or 2 days ago. Actually, it was yesterday, Tuesday, by Bernie Sanders. My man, Bernie Sanders. Your man, Bernie Sanders. And now she's sprinting to New York. Donald Trump was clobbered by Ted Cruz. And the funny thing is, folks, these two people were the underdogs. They were expected to lose. They didn't have a chance. But now they're winning. And which is a good thing because that tells you right then and there never to count the underdog out. Every dog has his day. And that's great. They're in New York now. I'm thinking new, but however, I don't believe Hillary Clinton has New York sold up. I remember she said she had Michigan sold up. Bernie Sanders clobbered her there. So this, anything could happen out here. She's a few points ahead now, but the primary isn't until, I believe, the 16th of April. And that's on a Saturday. But New York is supposedly her home state. If she get clobbered there, then it's over for her. If she loses New York, it is over for Hillary Clinton. And let's see. Here's an article, a Huffington Post article. The upcoming New York election may be one of the most consequential primaries to date, with both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump fighting to avoid embarrassing losses on their home territory. In other words, this would be embarrassing for Hillary Clinton to lose. She would be, it would be so embarrassing. Even though it would knock her totally out of the race, it would just be embarrassing to lose your home state. And however, it is possible. It's totally possible. It's the first time in modern history that the state has gone, has two competitive primaries. Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont has now won seven of the last eight. Some people say six of the last seven. But anyway, he's won quite a bit. Okay? Bernie Sanders, Vermont. I think he used to be the mayor of Vermont, and then he became the senator of Vermont. Has now won seven of the last eight contests. Isn't that something for Bernie Sanders? And so many people were talking about his age. This man, for his age, he is so, I think he's 74, 75 years old. For his age, he is so energetic. He's a mentor to the rest of us, saying that no matter what age you are, you can still win. I mean, that's a motivational tool. That this guy, 74, 75 years old, can bounce around the country like this, give speeches, go from one venue to the next, constantly, ongoing, and give speeches. If you listen to, I've listened to Bernie recently, and he is hoarse. I mean, his voice is almost giving out, but it's understandable. You know, it's understandable. And Bernie, I know this for a fact, Bernie loves to win. I mean, when he wins a state, it's like, wow, we won. He knows how to motivate people to get him out there to vote. And whether it's Trump or Cruz that Bernie's going to be running up against them, he's going to beat the hell out of them, folks. He's going to beat the hell out of them, okay? All righty. Although he still trails Clinton in delegates, for Democrats, New York's April 19th, okay, it's 19th, and the 19th is on a Tuesday, okay? Okay, my mistake, I said 16th. All right, we'll get that right. For Democrats, New York's April 19th primary will be the biggest prize to date with its 291 delegates. And I want to say to Bernie, go Bernie, go Bernie. As you know, I'm a Bernie fan. What can I say? All right, folks, we're going to take it out with this. Thank you. Okay, they say I have 60 seconds left. Okay. I've had fun, folks. I've had fun on the show today, and I hope you've had fun on the show. Once again, I want to apologize for my guests not showing up. That happens. But I had a great time. The show goes on, and I've had a lot of fun. And I hope you guys adhere to this diabetes advice that the doctor was talking about. I'm going to play that clip some more on future shows, because diabetes is an epidemic and we have to get the word out about this as a survival disease if we only learn more about it and take care of ourselves. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. See you tomorrow. Denver, did you put that chicken in there? Did you throw it in there? Or did you just put it in neatly? Neatly? All right, Denver, I don't want to go in there and see that chicken all on top of each other.